Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Stuart Acuff with Utility Workers Union of America, asking you to tune in every time you can to Bob Carson's Carson's Corner, one of the best pro-labor shows in America. We love it at Utility Workers. We love it across the AFL-CIO, and we're grateful to Bob for coming on and holding up our issues and holding up our principles and values.
Hi, this is Keith Bishop, author of Slop, The Wild Boar Nation, and you're listening to Carson's Corner, talk radio seeking solutions for today's and tomorrow's challenges.
This is Lamar Waldron, the author of Ultimate Sacrifice and Legacy of Secrecy, those two books, the latter of which will become a movie produced and starring Leonardo DiCaprio in 2013. And you are listening to Carson's Corner with Bob Carson on Underground Progressive Radio.
This is Les Leopold, the author of How to Make $1 Million an Hour. And I just want to tell you that you'll get a rich and rewarding experience by listening to Carson's Corner.
This is Greg Palast, reporter for BBC Television and Democracy Now, and author of the new book, Vulture's Picnic, In Pursuit of Petroleum Pigs, Power Pirates, and High Finance Carnivores. And you're listening to Carson's Corner on 5:30 a.m. Underground Progressive Radio, radio for the 99%. Help us occupy the airwaves and support Carson's Corner and support 5:30 Underground Progressive Radio.
Hi, this is David Levitt, your host from SYM Radio. SYM Radio is helping raise awareness to missing persons, parental stranger abductions, and human trafficking through our partners. We also raise awareness that people with disabilities can do whatever they set their mind to the love of God and Christ. And we're proud to be an affiliate with Carson's Corner, and you're listening to Carson's Corner with Jay Ray and Bob Carson on Underground Progressive Radio and also at SYMradio.com/live.
Hi, this is Frank Schaefer, author of Sex, Mom, and God. You're listening to Carson's Corner, a show I enjoy. I hope you enjoy it, too. I encourage you to listen.
And welcome live to Carson's Corner, folks. My name is Bob Carson, and we're pleased to be with you this Sunday evening. If you want to give me a call throughout this program, you can at 347-326-9749. That is 347-326-9749. We also have the chat room open for you as well. Many people just feel more comfortable in the chat room, so you can give us a comment in the chat room as well, or a question, or whatever you want. That's open. That'll be open throughout the entire show. Also want to let you know that we are in conjunction with the CommonsProjectNetwork.com. I encourage you to visit the CommonsProjectNetwork.com for great independent progressive media. Okay, they have clips there. They have podcasts there. They have a lot of stuff going on there at the CommonsProjectNetwork.com. It is a very, very important website. And also, truthout.org is another important nonprofit progressive news outlet that really shapes things, that shapes issues in a way that you wouldn't see, of course, in the corporate media. And we've had individuals from truthout.org on this program, and I'm sure we will in the future. And the reason why I bring up truthout.org is because they just published a very good article, which is going to be the focus of our discussion for a good part of today's show. It is the privatization and the Affordable Care Act, okay? What is the relationship between privatization and the problems that we're seeing right now with the development of the website. Now, you know me. I am not a fan of the Affordable Care Act. The legislation, I think, has a few good things in it, but we have to have an individual mandate within the legislation to make sure that the insurance companies can continue to have a profit. It all comes down to the profitability of the insurance companies. In order for them to continue to, you know, have us pay 10-11% of our income to them for health care, we have to mandate that everybody buys their product, which President Obama deemed was the problem in 2008 and 2007. Now, President Obama railed against the insurance companies. Now he's depending upon the insurance companies. He's depending upon the executives, people like Karen Ignacy, the lobbyist for the healthcare industry, one of the most powerful lobbyists in Washington, D.C. He's depending on these people for political cover right now. And it's really unfortunate. It really is, because these people are there to make sure that their companies are profitable. That is the bottom line. I mean, you know, can anybody say any different? The insurance companies only care about making a profit. That's it. Okay? They don't administer any type of medical procedures to you and I. They're not trained. They're just there to skim money off the top and deny services. And so now we have this Affordable Care Act, which is the implementation, the rollout is a disaster. And what's going to happen here, and this has been going on for the last 30-plus years and even before that, the elites in our society will tell everybody that, look, this is somehow government, right? We have a problem with the website. People are not able to sign up on this website as promised, as anticipated, okay? You've got the website crashing, people getting cancellation notices, and in politics, perception is reality. So we have all these different problems, or you know, even if it is getting better, still perception is reality. And the fascist forces out there, the corporatists, the elites, they will tell everybody that this is the government. See, this is an example of government incompetence. This is an example of the government not being able to do anything right. And in the abstract, you know, you got people that watch Fox News, you got people that call themselves Tea Party members. They will buy this because they don't want to have to think. They just want to abide by certain slogans. Government sucks. Government can't do this. Government can't do that. Well, are you on Medicare? Did you drive on socialist roads? Did you depend on a socialist police department to protect your assets? Of course, that doesn't matter. That's just, you know, they just want to, they're told by some, you know, millionaire that government can't do anything right, and they just will believe anything they hear on Fox News and from right-wing talk radio. And as I said, Fox News infects, you know, tens of millions of people. Right-wing talk radio infects, you know, if Rush Limbaugh has however many million listeners, you could times that by 10 or 15 by the when you consider all the people that he infects. It's like a cancer. It's like, you know, it's like the sky. Right-wing talk radio is like the sky. You can't escape it no matter, you know, where you travel. And so people will believe this. But what has happened to our government over the last 30-plus years, and maybe even before that, but really it was put on steroids by Ronald Reagan, is the privatization of our services. It is the privatization of government services that has led to what we're seeing now with the Affordable Care Act. And, you know, a good example of this more recently was the Edward Snowden situation, where you had this kid, this 28-year-old, 29-year-old kid with a GED making, some reports had him making $120,000 a year, releasing classified secrets programs to the media. And this guy defected, and I haven't been keeping track of this case, but you all know the story with Edward Snowden. And you all know, you know, what happened with that. But the reason why, you know, that happened is because the government does not provide the services that they're lawfully required to provide. And so now, instead of a government employee in whatever branch of the government, whether it's, you know, the Department of Defense, whether it's the Department of Homeland Security, whether it's the Department of Health and Human Services, you're not dealing with government employees anymore that have taken an oath to uphold the duties of the government. You're dealing with a private for-profit company that only cares about making money. Okay? That's it. And you look at the defense industry in America, okay, private contractors account for a little less than one-fourth of the intelligence community, okay? Some estimates have about 22% of the defense industry is made up by private contractors, and yet 50% of the costs goes where? To these private contractors. Because these private contractors use a model that is based on waste and inefficiency, okay? Now, you look at this company that is supposed to be implementing the website, all right? I don't remember the name of this company, but truthout.org has a great article about this called Privatization and the Affordable Care Act. This company has a bad record when it comes to IT services. They've been sued many times. They're a Canadian company that has a subsidiary here in the United States, and they're a disaster. And yet they have the contract to build this website, and yet regardless of the job that they do, because we've privatized our government, regardless of what happens, this private for-profit company can continue to milk the government based on, you know, the job that they're doing now. Even though they're doing a terrible job, we have to use this for-profit company because that is basically part of our system now. And so regardless of how bad of a job this private for-profit company does, they're going to continue to reap millions and millions and millions of dollars. And that is a reflection on our system, which rewards waste and inefficiency. It does. I mean, you know, go to Booz Allen Hamilton, this company that that Edward Snowden worked for. Okay, they're not accountable to you and I. They are leeching off of the United States government and soaking up our tax dollars to provide services that the United States government should be providing. I mean, you could just look anywhere inside the federal government, and you'll see this race to privatization. You know, when Ronald Reagan came in, he was the one that said, oh, government is not the answer. Government is the problem, or something to that effect. And that, coupled with his 1981 tax cut, And all the other policies that really transformed the way that government was going to operate, that has put us on the path right now where, you know, it's impossible to tell where business begins and government ends, and vice versa. And these private contractors are way more expensive than government employees. I mean, you know, you're not going to find a government employee on the Fortune 400 list. You're not going to find a government employee, you know, on some magazine boasting about his new house or fill in the blank. Yet these private companies, they are milking the United States government. And in the end, you and I are going to have to pay for this. You and I are going to have to, you know, fork over our tax dollars, or, you know, the people on food stamps, or, you know, look anywhere in the federal budget. They are going to have to pay for these private for-profit contractors and they're agreed. And it's really disgusting. It really is. But you know what? This is what happens, is that these forces, the conservative forces, libertarian forces in our society, win either way. Because we have a conservative health care plan in the Affordable Care Act that was, you know, modeled after, you can go back to the 1970s, the Heritage Foundation, and you can go back to Bob Dole's campaign and see that the Affordable Care Act is modeled after, you know, what was created out of the Heritage Foundation and what went on in Massachusetts with Mitt Romney. You have a right-wing, corporate-friendly health care law that is being implemented by private for-profit companies, and regardless of whether or not it is successful, the private for-profit companies will continue to reap huge benefits, and the fall, the blame will lie with the United States government, because we live in a Fox News, you know, soundbite culture that, you know, people just, white, angry individuals want to hear how bad the government is, how you know, the government can't do this or the government can't do that. And so people get duped into believing, yeah, this is another example of government incompetence. This is another example. You got this useful idiot on, was it Meet the Press, this Chuck Todd, this guy, just disgusting. I want to throw up every time I see this guy or see a clip of him online, which I don't have television, thank God, but these people are absolutely disgusting. He has no idea. He's just there to basically uphold the system. He's there to, you know, take news given to him by whatever government agency or you know, whatever source exists out there. And he's not there to question. He's not there to do anything but propagandize the American people. You've got this guy on one of the Sunday shows saying, "Oh, this, you know, invalidates government. This really is, you know, so let's privatize government," because that is the goal of the elites out there, of the very wealthy, to privatize government 100%. That way they get richer and you and I get poorer. And this goes to, if you read Chuck Collins' book, I think it's 99 to 1. Chuck Collins is a great progressive author. And this is all part of the cycle of disinvestment, where, you know, tax dollars are no longer allocated to government services, and these services become privatized, and then ultimately, you know, you have to pay money. You have to pay more of your income for these services, and private services do a lousy job, and it results in them getting richer and everybody else getting poorer. No, it really does. And so, you know, this is what we have right now, where, you know, we're going to go into a midterm election, and unfortunately, a lot of people are going to believe that the problems with the implementation of the Affordable Care Act lies with the functions of government, when in actuality it has nothing to do with the functions of government. Government provides health care very well to people in America. You know, you look at Medicare. Medicare is doing very well, a very, very low overhead. There's been holes drilled into it by the private for-profit companies over the last, you know, 20 or 30 years. But by and large, Medicare is doing very well. And all you have to do is cuts in Medicare. Ask people if they want Medicare to be tampered with. The answer overwhelmingly is no. Even these Tea Party people that you see at these rallies with, "Keep your government hands off of my Medicare." Well, they depend on Medicare. I don't think they understand that it's a government-run program, but, you know, that's paid for by payroll taxes, but it doesn't matter. Veterans Administration, our veterans get the best care. It's complete socialized medicine, where the government runs the hospitals. You know, we have government doctors, government nurses, fill in the blank. And it's remarkably effective. And then you've got our members of Congress. You know, the same individuals that call themselves Tea Party members, The same individuals that rail against the government, even though they work for government, even though they are the government, they accept government-run health care, okay? And the health care that they accept is administered by the government. So, it really is unbelievable, the hypocrisy here. But, again, this is the goal of the elites out there, is to privatize every industry they can. Privatization equals control. It equals corporatization. You know, us being ruled by private economic power, you know, to a more extent now than we are already, is one of the ultimate goals of the very wealthy in America, okay? Because it's more money in their pockets, it's more control, and it gives them more power. You know, because where government does work, things like Social Security, things like Medicare, things like emergency response, and the running of our police departments, our fire departments, the basic infrastructure of America. I mean, you know, we can just go down the line. That represents a threat to the business interests of America. It represents a threat to the elites out there. Because if people say, you know what, hey, let's take a step back here and let's look at our healthcare industry. Let's look at the fact that we are spending one out of every $6 on a healthcare system that is broken. The average American is spending 10 or 11% of his income to a for-profit health insurance company that produces no value to society. We are the only industrialized country that allows for this system to take place. Why are we doing this? Why in the world do we have this junket? It doesn't make any sense. So let's reject it. Let's reject the current healthcare system and say, no, the problem is not over a website. The problem is that I have to fork over a dollar to an insurance company that is there to make a profit, to make a buck. That's it. And then you look at other areas in the government, look at Medicare, look at Veterans Administration. These programs are very efficient, just like Social Security. Why is it that we have to do this? Why do we have this for-profit model that is, you know, robbing everybody of their income, siphoning, you know, our money? Why do we have this? Well, we shouldn't have this. Once you reject it, once you reject that premise, then guess what? You move the debate. And you know, eventually we could not have these problems. You know, every industrialized country, they understand it. You know, this is a cruel and inhumane system that we have here in America. And you know, so what do they do about it? I mean, other countries in Canada a few years ago, I remember they were celebrating their health insurance system there. Other countries, I mean, even in the UK, where, you know, Margaret Thatcher, her policies of deregulation, her policies of cutting taxes, busting the unions, all of this has culminated in wealth and income consolidation in that country. But you know what? They still have a private healthcare system, because the citizens of that country will not tolerate otherwise. You see, this is what we have to start to really question here, all right? We have to, you know, question the privatization of our society. And as Peter Joseph of the Zeitgeist Movement has said repeatedly, and it's featured in many of his films, the current market-based system is based on consumerism. You know, we have to consume, money has to move around pretty quickly in order to, quote, sustain, quote, growth, okay? But yet if you look at our system, it's designed to be inefficient, to maintain consumerism. You know, products are supposed to break down. They have to break down. Or else you wouldn't be at the store buying it. And you see what happens is that sustainability and efficiency become enemies of the marketplace, and therefore, you know, any movement that espouses a such science is under attack. You and I are under attack. It's like the healthcare industry. The healthcare industry is a measure of sick and dying individuals. Care industry, the healthcare companies are doing a horrible job. If you look at the rates of disease in America, if you look at the rates of childhood deaths, all of these different areas, you know, the citizens living with obesity, all these different measures point to the fact that the healthcare insurance companies are doing a horrible job, and yet they're receiving record profits. Their profit margin has grown substantially over the last 10 years or so. Healthcare stocks are doing very well, as by design, you know, with the Affordable Care Act. But why is it that these companies, it goes back to this company I was telling you about that's implementing the healthcare law or a website. This Canadian-based company that's doing apparently a horrible job, this company is going to make more and more money off of the lousy services that they're rendering. Why? Because our market demands such. Our market is based on inefficiency, the market system. And you know what? It's killing us. I mean, you could just pick an industry. Look at the defense industry. I mean, Jesus, is there any area of the federal budget that is more wasteful than the defense industry? I mean, we have trillions of dollars missing from the Pentagon budget. We have companies like Halliburton that were near bankrupt before the start of the Iraq war, now making billions of dollars. What are they doing? Doing nothing. You know, we've got companies like Lockheed Martin. Just fill in the blank. Pick your defense company and see how they're making money and see how they're profiting and how their executives and shareholders are just living large. You know, you could go with the most expensive zip code in America, the wealthiest zip code in America, right outside of Washington, D.C. And it's all these defense contractors that live in this one area. I mean, it's disgusting. It really is. But that's what our system is made of now. This is what, you know, America has become. And what's ruled out in all of this is human need. It doesn't matter. All that matters is the mobility of money. That's it. And, it's really frustrating. It really is, because you could see this. You know, you could see this playing out right now, where because of a for-profit company, you know, that does not have a good record, because the government cannot, you know, administer the services that they're required to do, we're just going to move backwards and backwards and backwards. And now, you know, in 2014, it's going to be tough for anybody that's, you know, running a non-corporate or anti-corporate, anti-privatization campaign. You know, it's frustrating. I mean, not that elections matter, because elections don't matter. You know, you know that. And by the way, we're going to have Terry Lee on the show not too long from now. The great activist, online activist, Terry Lee, is going to be on the program. She, of course, was on last year in her Boycott the Election campaign. We had Mark E. Smith on the program. I'm sure if you scroll back in the archives, you could see, if you go to blogtalkradio.com/Carson's Corner, where you can hear our interview with Terry Lee and Mark E. Smith about how the best form of democracy is not to vote, because voting is a consent to tyranny. And I definitely agree with that to a certain extent. So elections really don't matter. Both political parties are essentially part of the business party. Okay, but you know what? Something has to change. It really does. And it's going to take more than just being aware of what's going on. It's going to take, I think it's going to take another crash. I really do. But, I mean, you know, you get the point here. You see what's happening. It is the privatization of our government that is, you know, it's killing us. It really is. Because what happens is, you know, if we're allocating all of these resources to a private for-profit company that, again, has no accountability to you and I, if a government employee or a politician does something you don't like, well, then you could vote them out of office. You have some sort of mechanism to voice your displeasure, okay? But yet, on the other hand, if a private for-profit company is taking your tax dollars and misusing your tax dollars, you know, like, for example, the defense industry, the financial industry, pick an industry, and you'll see private for-profit companies leeching off of the United States government. Well, you and I have no accountability. There's really nothing you and I can do. I mean, you know, take, for example, this story we've been talking about with this company, this Canadian-based company that's doing a terrible job in constructing the website. It's called CGI. They are the name of the company. Well, guess what? Who are they accountable to? Nobody. And how are we going to get information from them? Like, you know, how are we going to find out exactly what they're doing or what they're being told to do by their executives? Maybe they're being told to prolong this. Maybe they're being told to really drag out these problems because it would make them more money. And, you know, who knows? Maybe, you know, some donors, maybe some, you know, some right-wing libertarian forces out there are funding this company or are partners or have some sort of investment in this company. So this company can do a terrible job with the Affordable Care website rollout. They can siphon our tax dollars. And you know what? At the end of the day, it doesn't make a difference anyway because, you know, they have allies in the Congress. And, you know, they're going to be financially better from when they started. We have no way of knowing. I don't even think you could file a Freedom of Information Act against this company. So do you see where I'm going here? Do you see how disturbing this is, where we have, you know, private forces in control of our government? And these private forces are only accountable to shareholders. And that's it, if they are private. I think a private company can attract shareholders. But they're not accountable to you and I. And that's the point, okay? And that's what we got to really – we got to get back our government. And the government is we the people, okay? It's not we, the corporation. We have to really put an end to Reagan's privatization. Because, again, privatization is built on waste and inefficiency. Okay? If you go see a doctor, the last thing the doctor wants is for you to be cured after one visit. You go buy a car from a car company, the last thing that car company wants is for you to have a car that lasts your entire life. I mean, you know, you could just go down the line. And it's killing us. It really is. I want a government employee who has taken an oath to administer these services. And if they don't do a good job, then you know what? We vote them out. We vote the party out. We make some changes, whatever the case may be. But now, I mean, if you go back to the defense industry we're talking about, now you've got all these private companies that have defense clearances. They have access to our country's secrets. And so, you know, I mean, you got over 500,000 private contractors that have a national clearance. It's really unbelievable. But you know what? I mean, we have to reject this. We have to recognize that there is a role for business in our economy, but business should not be the end-all, be-all. Because I'll tell you something, folks, and I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know, but business right now is at the helm of everything. In the United States of America, it is all about business, okay? That's how we measure our success. That's how we define our success. These are the yardsticks that are given to us in which to measure progress. And what happens is, if you look at business as a whole, businesses are created not to solve problems. Businesses are created to make a profit. That's it. Okay? And businesses in America, I mean, I'm not talking about small businesses, because small businesses are the only true capitalist institutions out there, I would argue. I'm talking about, you know, the multinational corporations, major industry companies. They can make a profit by doing something that hurts society. They can make a profit by, you know, shipping jobs overseas, by buying up companies, you know, merging and firing workers. It's what Mitt Romney's company did. They can make a profit by, you know, paying their workers starvation wages. They can make a profit by lobbying the government for subsidies, which they do. That's a whole problem, a whole area of just corporate welfare that's killing us, that's literally, you know, destroying this country. I mean, they can make a profit any which way. And it doesn't matter, because in this country, we put the profit motive over human life. Your life means nothing in America unless you have money. You know, we just do not value life in this country. All you have to do is pick up a newspaper. You pick up a newspaper, pick up a corporate newspaper. I mean, not that you could really get any other such newspaper. But you pick up a newspaper, and all you see is issues framed through the lens of business. You know, that you see information about corporate profits. You see information about the stock market and whatever else that is given to us. But what you don't see is information pertaining to, you know, the quality of life. You don't see information pertaining to how workers are faring in America unless it's presented as some sort of nuisance to the business interests. And why is that in a nation of many employees and few employers? Well, that's because everything that you hear, see, or read is given to you through the perspective of the corporate business person out there. Everything is. You know, and that's why if you're listening to this right now and you see a picture of me standing next to Cenk Uygur with my corporate American flag shirt, that's why I wear that shirt. Because we value money over human life in this country. We value corporate profit, capital over labor, more so than any other country out there. And it's just, it's wrong. It really is. And it's, you know, the Tea Party and the Occupy protests, which, you know, the Occupy movement is no longer in existence in America. But these two factions are a acknowledgement that thing with our system is very wrong. It really is. But you know what? We still have the same framework of assumptions that we are operating by. And that's wrong. And you know what? We have to change. All right, we're going to take a brief timeout here on Carson's Corner. We'll be right back after this brief timeout.
I put out way too much trash to think about recycling. I just don't get it.
Some things are very obvious, Maria.
Learn the difference between trash and recycling and more on our website, yougottabekidding.org. Visit yougottabekidding.org today.
This is David Levitt, your host from SYM Radio. SYM Radio is helping raise awareness to missing persons, parental stranger abductions, and human trafficking through our partners. We also raise awareness that people with disabilities can do whatever they set their mind to through the love of God and Christ. And we're proud to be an affiliate with Carson's Corner, and you're listening to Carson's Corner with Jay Ray and Bob Carson on Underground Progressive Radio and also at symradio.com/live.
Hi, this is Stuart Acuff with Utility Workers Union of America, asking you to tune in every time you can to Bob Carson's Carson's Corner, one of the best pro-labor shows in America. We love it at Utility Workers. We love it across the AFL-CIO, and we're grateful to Bob for coming on and holding up our issues and holding up our principles and values.
Right, we're back here on Carson's Corner. My name is Bob Carson, and I want to encourage you to check out the commonsprojectnetwork.com. That's the commonsprojectnetwork.com, where you'll find this show as well as many other great progressive podcasts and individuals out there that produce independent, non-corporate-owned media for you out there, okay? That's very, very important stuff. We've got about 15 minutes left here on Carson's Corner, and if you want to give me a call, you can, 347-326-9749. We're talking about the privatization of America, the privatization of our healthcare industry, and how the privatization of our government has led to the disastrous Affordable Care Act. Now, you know, again, we don't support the Affordable Care Act. I told you why. I've done hours worth of commentary on why it is a disaster and why ultimately it will not work. But the larger issue here is the privatization of government services and our economy that really hurts us. And I'm going to tell you, there's a story that came out in New York City where you had four people killed after a train derailed today in the Bronx. And this is the second derailment in 6 months, I believe, okay? And I haven't read too much about the story, but I'll tell you what. I'll tell you how this fits into what we've been talking about, the privatization of our country, you know, vital areas of our economy, vital services that could lead to something that we saw in the New York City derailment, which killed four people as of now. David K. Johnson, in his book Free Lunch, How the Wealthiest Americans Use Government to Enrich Themselves and Stick You with the Bill, wrote about a company called CSX. And it's been a few years since I read this, so I'm just kind of going to give a general summary of what he wrote about in his book, because I read this when it was out in California. I have the book. It's a great book. It's called, again, Free Lunch, How the Wealthiest Americans Enrich Themselves by Using Government to Stick You with the Bill. There's this company called CSX, which owns a huge share of our nation's railroads, okay? And New Jersey Transit is, I believe, run by government funds. You know, it's, if you take the train, I'm from New Jersey, if you take the train into New York City or anywhere in the tri-state area, if you use Amtrak or Acela, you're basically relying on the government to get you from point A to point B, because these are subsidized rides. These are, you know, this is almost a government-run operation, okay? And CSX is a private for-profit company. And what they did in the 90s is they ignored safety requirements in updating their rails. Okay, they literally ignored, you know, safety requirements. That they left many stretches of rail throughout this country unsafe, obviously to make a profit. Again, goes back to the waste and inefficiency, where, you know, a private for-profit company makes money by, you know, cutting safety regulations. They make money by, you know, ignoring things. And it's just, you know, that's why they're for deregulation. All these industries pump out this deregulation propaganda because regulation costs them money. Okay, regulation is, I guess, it could be considered one of the last countervailing institutions of us, you know, protected from the corporate state. And, you know, government regulatory agencies have been captured by business. There's just no question about that. Even President Obama has probably deregulated more industry than his predecessor, George W. Bush, and it's really really remarkable. But this is what we have here, where the wealthy and business interests have, you know, complete say over what regulation is governing them and how that is implemented. And I mean, they have a million different ways to fight off regulation, and they do. And that's why, you know, the government doesn't regulate business. Business regulates the government. Well, you know, this company, CSX, basically, you know, obscured its responsibility to safeguard the rails, to perform maintenance on the rails, and six people died because a train derailment occurred. This was in 1995, I believe, and I believe that the train that took off was in New Jersey and going to Florida or something like that. Again, it's been a couple of years since I read the story. But CSX was responsible for it, okay? And what ended up happening was they billed Amtrak. They billed New Jersey Transit for the money that they had to pay out to the families that died as a result of their greed. So that is an example of how we have to pay for the private industry. We have to pay for, you know, their greed. And, you know, you could look at other industries too. Look at Wall Street, for example. You know, when Wall Street collapsed itself in 2008 as a result of deregulation that occurred, beginning with, you know, Bill Clinton and, you know, put into overdrive during the Bush administration, where George W. Bush basically gutted the SEC, the Security Exchange Commission. Well, what happened was that the stock market collapsed in 2008, and millions of people lost wealth. I mean, the amount of wealth that was lost is just mind-boggling. And yet, you know, these financial institutions, which depend on the government for subsidies, lobby the government for subsidies. I mean, again, you can look at some of David K. Johnson's work that discusses this. They end up going to the taxpayers for a bailout, and we end up bailing them out from their own greed, and the cost gets passed on to you and I. And that's what happens, is that these private for-profit companies, these private industries, they internalize the profits and externalize the costs to you and I. And this whole corporate welfare system that exists in America, this whole giant junket, it gets ruled out in our corporate media so that when you hear welfare, you're thinking of a black person. You're thinking of a minority. You're thinking of a poor, lazy slob, right? Because that's what the corporate elites want you to think. You're thinking of public unions or whatever the case may be. You're not thinking about the built-in, ingrained corporate welfare system where corporations externalize their losses at our expense and internalize their profits. And these same corporations, I mean, you know, we spoke about the tax code in previous issues. Tax code is one giant junket for corporations. And it just goes on and on and on. And who's left holding the bag? Who's left suffering? You and I. It's you and I, folks. The very wealthy already recovered dramatically from the financial collapse in 2008. In fact, last year they got a 20% increase in their income. You've got 1% of the population that owns close to one-fourth of the income in America. You could just go down the line. If you've got 1%, then 10% of income earners probably own 60 or 70% of the nation's overall income. I mean, you know, you could see the poorer you are in America, the less money that you have, the worse it is. And this is all because of the current system that we've allowed to take place and to go into overdrive in this country. It really is. I mean, I'm ashamed. I am ashamed of our country in so many ways. I really am. Because we did not learn from mistakes. You know, after the Great Depression, when we had the stock market collapse, we had a run on banks, we had bread lines, all these different problems. I mean, the suffering was immense in this country. And what we did was we stood up and we embraced progressive change. We taxed the wealthy at a much higher rate. And you know, when Roosevelt decided to tax the wealthy, the American people applauded. He called them, I believe, economic royalists. We punished business. We contained capital as best as we could with laws like the Wagner Act of the 1930s. We had a progressive country. We spent our way out of the Great Depression. And there was a truce between capital and labor for some time in America, you know, probably leading up to 1978 or 1980. And then suddenly in 78, you get Jimmy Carter, and he started to drink some of the deregulation Kool-Aid, and there was an effort to peg the minimum wage to inflation that was killed. There was a defeat of organized labor. And then 2 years later, you had Ronald Reagan. And his Reagan Revolution is still ongoing today because we're still operating in basically the same context. We really are. And what Ronald Reagan has done is he's brought both parties to be mirror images of each other and the entire discussion to the right wing. And that's what I said before is that, you know, you look at the Affordable Care Act, look at the problems that are now occurring with the website, tearing business forces of America. The elites win either way. Because now, the government's not working. Look, the government's not constructing the website, even though it's a private for-profit company that is doing it, that is supposed to be doing it. And people will believe this, and that's going to basically delegitimize government even further in the minds of the low-information voters, the typical Fox News or Tea Party individual. And as I said last week on this show, the very wealthy have an ability to nullify elections, and it goes back to what I was saying before, where elections don't matter, because the special interests, the elites, have nullified the elections in America. I mean, you know, all you have to do is look at President Obama to realize that, is that we have a guy who has done nothing to invest in our economy. You know, the stimulus package he passed in 2009 was too small, comprised of tax cuts to get Republicans on board, the health care legislation, conservative piece of legislation modeled after the Heritage Foundation. Go down the line, the freezing of pay of federal workers, the passing of the free trade agreements negotiated under George W. Bush and supported by the Chamber of Commerce, the cutting of spending, the austerity model, all of that is basically Obama kowtowing to the special interests in America. That's what it's all about. So elections don't matter. Our government has been nullified by special interests, by private for-profit companies, and you and I have no participation in power. And it's absolutely disgusting, folks. It really is. I'm Bob Carson. This is Carson's Corner. I want to tell you, you can friend me on Facebook. Please do so at facebook.com/BobCarsonMMA. And you can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/BobCarsonMMA. I'll be on Breezing with Bierman on December 20th. And before that, maybe the week before, we're going to have Stu Wexler, our friend and colleague who's written many books about the assassination. He's done a book about the assassination of Martin Luther King. He's one of my Facebook friends as well, so make sure to check him out. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, show some respect.